The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
You are listening to Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Thank you for joining us today. I am your host, Gary Puckett. And today, my guests are Dr. Andrew Jackson, superintendent, and we have two representatives from Trojan Media Productions, Spencer Powell and Kevin Leach. Our podcast comes to you on our nationwide media network. We operate with a team of 35 individual show hosts around the country. We also have 80 syndication partners and 17 different media domain platforms. We furnish on-demand media programming for over 3,300 small communities across the nation. We offer the Super Chat show format for school districts anywhere in the country. However, this edition is produced solely for the benefit of the stakeholders of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Well, Andrew, Kevin, Spencer, I welcome you all to Super Chat. Andrew, let me turn to you. Once again, it's that time of the season during the school year when weather can just turn on a dime and it can turn to a mess at any time, really. So I was hoping you could review the procedures you activate when winter weather moves in. Will you review this information for the benefit of our listeners?
Absolutely. It's a great time to review that. I was actually driving into work the week after Thanksgiving, and my car said it was 17 degrees outside and there was some flurries. So I thought it's probably a good time to remind our listeners about our snow day procedure. So first, we check the roads early. I typically get out between 4 and 4:30 in the morning, and we make a decision by 5:30 in the morning, and that is put on social media, Facebook, Twitter, our webpage. It's also sent to radio, TV stations in Cincinnati, and then we also send a call out by 5:30 in the morning regarding a delay or cancellation. If we do a delay, we try to leave it as a delay. I don't like doing a delay and then changing it to a cancellation because I know that can cause problems for parents because they have different arrangements for a delay compared to a cancellation. So we try not to do that. It's happened before where the prediction isn't accurate. So something changes in the morning with the road conditions. We thought they were going to get better and they didn't. So it happens every once in a while. We really try to stick to a delay or a closure. The one piece I need to remind the listeners is regarding e-learning because that has changed recently. The state only allows us to have 3 e-learning days for inclement weather. We already have one set aside that we're going to actually use for the total eclipse due to safety concerns and the timing of that with drivers on the road and buses on the road. So we already have one being used. So we have 2 remaining e-learning days. We also have some built-in snow days as well. So we will use those built-in snow days, makeup days first. One is in January and one is in February. So if we have a snow day before the date in January, the Martin Luther King Day in January, we will use that date. If we have a second snow day before the February President's Day, we'll use that date. And then after that, we will use e-learning because we don't want to use up the e-learning days and then have those snow makeup days built in the calendar and we could have used them and then at the end of the year have to add days. So all in all, we have those 2 days built in the calendar, plus we have 2 additional e-learning days that we can use. So we can miss up to 4 days of school and either through a combination of e-learning or snow makeup days, make up those days without having to add days to the end of the calendar. If we miss more than 4 school days for inclement weather, we will have to add days to the end of the calendar, which we hope that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. I realize that during this time of year when the weather is a little iffy, it may not be bad enough to call school off. There may be just a delay. But I'm sure that there are quite a few parents that just kind of take a deep breath and let their child, really, get behind the wheel of a car and drive to school. How much of a concern enters into your decision as it relates to the number of what I'll just call inexperienced student drivers that are out on the roads when the weather is questionable?
that is a big influence on our decision. So we have two things we look at when we look at the road conditions. One is, can a bus safely stop and start? You know, we have some hills and some icy conditions. So that's the first thing. The second is our student drivers as well. That's just as an equal concern as our buses. So every year you have to think about, we have about 300 students at the high school, where every year we have a new crop of 300 students getting their driver's license. So come December, January, our first snow, we'll have about 300 kids that have never driven on snow before. So that is a big consideration. Obviously, any student can get on a bus, so, or any student can have their parent drive them as well. But we know that that's not possible for a lot of parents. So that is a major factor in the considerations, particularly on the first snow of the year, knowing that many students have never driven on snow before.
Yeah, of course, of course. And we've all been there. I mean, it's bad enough when you've had experience, because things can go south quite rapidly.
Well, I'm hoping for a little bit of snow when we on a Saturday or during Christmas break. Then it clears out in January and we have school.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I'll give you that. Well, let me change topics altogether. All three of you know just what a huge part of your school activities and events involve the use of your Performing Arts Center. So, Kevin, Spencer, what goes into a performance behind the scenes when you have an event scheduled to happen in your Performing Arts Center? Can you give our listeners a description of that process and how you pull it all off?
It's a lot. I'm kind of starting out, say we use drama as an example here. Right now we're in the middle of Tech Week, and what Tech Week is that we kind of run the show with the lights and the microphones and kind of work on the tech side of it. They're working on their music numbers, all that good stuff, making sure it sounds all right and looks good with the lights. Before that, we are going through the microphones and giving each member of a cast the mic and kind of picking out which microphone itself would work well for them and getting our soundboard set up. The Sunday before Tech Week, our head technician comes in with the drama director, and they set the light cues, right? So the lighting board, and they run through which lights are on at which point, and they set that to a button where the students can operate it pretty easily going along with the script, right? So they're just going along with the script, pressing buttons, and the lights kind of turn on. So that's not too complicated for the kids. Show-wise, we're getting the theater ready for the audience and all that, cleaning and making sure our work areas are tidy and all that. We've got a lot going on. Carrie Zingerling, drama directors, really emphasize kind of decorating the Performing Arts Center to match a theme. So you're going to a Christmas Story this weekend. You're going to have a Christmas tree out front, lots of lights, pictures, slideshows before the show, all that good stuff.
Well, it always looks great. I'm sure there are a lot of details that people are unaware of. An explanation like this truly does help. I have kind of a curious question on my own. I've often wondered this, but in a typical production, whether it be just an event or a theatrical production, how many cameras and microphones do you have in use in any given event or performance?
So if it's a presentation like banquet, girls soccer banquet, right, we'll do one microphone on a podium for them. We can run a slideshow through our video system. And then we're looking at drama shows. We're doing 24 microphones, 4 hanging mics, 2 microphones on the stage. This is going to be a 4-camera production for Trojan Media, kind of doing a DVD of the show that we offer. And it's kind of in-house streaming, too. So you can watch it out in the lobby, and they can watch it in the dressing rooms and all that stuff. So it varies. Yeah, from one microphone to the 24 of them I think we have. And then camera-wise, it's whatever it really calls for. Our drama shows are a little more in-depth. They're all over the stage. They're actually on the wings, the brick columns on their side. If you've ever been there, you know that. We do a lot in front of that. We have the biggest stage in the area, and we always seem to overfill it.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when they say go, things get a little crazy from time to time, but you know what you're doing, and that's the main thing. Well, how many technical individuals generally work these events to make sure everything happens as planned with audio, video, and perhaps even some effects?
We have 5. We have 4 PAC technicians, and then Kevin Leach will run the video for Trojan Media. So we have myself, Jake Zingling, the head technician, Dustin Miller is running sound this show, and then DJ Stroud is going to run Trouble. So if we need a microphone changed or something goes on or we need a tech on there, we can get that going. I have a great crew, and Jake Zingerling, man, he's probably the best lighting guy around this area. I know that's a niche thing, but we got a great one. We really do.
Well, having both directed and performed in live stage work many, many times for over 20-plus years, you hit it on the head because any one of those components, audio, lighting, special effects, it can just ruin the show if it doesn't go well. I mean, everything has to happen on cue. Am I exaggerating there or not?
No, not at all. One misstep and it takes you out of it. It takes the audience out of it, whether that's mic feedback. If you're performing in front of a middle school and the mic feedback, but you got all kinds of, and it throws everybody off. You know, the more mature audience, it doesn't, but it still takes them out of it. Any missed lights, we've had some battens that kind of get a little wonky and it delays the show. And that ultimately takes your audience out of it. It makes it harder for the kids to perform. Yo, you're right.
Guys, let me ask you this. It's my understanding that you have some upgrades planned. Can you describe what will be added or changed?
We're going to look at everything. Very fortunate that the board and Dr. Jackson's looking at giving us about $3.5 million to upgrade the facility. We're going to do everything from seats. We're going to look at our curtains. There's not going to be a stone unturned. Talking with Jake Zingerling again, I mean, we're looking at things that I haven't even thought about, things that are working well, but are kind of, I don't want to say hodgepodge, but some things that we do that we can do better, right? We can get video different places, we believe. Our sound, our architectural lighting, so the way, like the house lights, right? When you walk in, we're a little dim right now. We got a lot of things that we need to work on. We're going to look at LED lights, both in-house and on stage. Our curtains are 15 years old in a public school. They get ripped on. They get pulled on. It's going to be a different place, a well-deserved facelift after 15 years of use. It's going to be awesome.
Kevin, let me turn to you. Can you tell us about Trojan Media Productions? Give us an overview and some of the details, and so our listeners have a real good grasp of what you're working on, what's going on.
Trojan Media Productions is a student group. It's a class that's considered a career technical education. It gives students an opportunity to learn real-world skills in the classroom, and then they take those skills out into the field after school hours and put those skills to work doing a real-world job for credit in a classroom. So they learn the basics of how broadcasting works, television production works from different levels. And we've got four different levels right now, ranging from freshman to senior. Then they go out after school. And a lot of people have probably seen this in our live videos that we produce during mostly sports, where we live stream football games, basketball games, swim meets, wrestling, pretty much most of the sports. We're still trying to work on our spring sports, which are a little more complicated, but we do all as many sports as we can. And those kids put in all of the work that the people at home watch. They apply their skills in a real world setting. And then once they leave school, they can take that and they can transfer it right into a job with or without continuing education. Yes, you can go to school and get a degree in broadcasting or filmmaking or whatever you want to get it into, but you can also go right into a career working for a television station at the bottom and work your way up because you've already got some skills that will get you hired. They also work in our Performing Arts Center. Spencer was talking about the video that we do in there. We do a lot of live broadcasts of our concerts. We make DVDs of our drama shows. So they get a lot of different experience in editing and things like that as well. And it's all about giving these kids real world experience.
How many students do you have involved in your Trojan Media Productions?
Right now, total, we have 22, 23.
Mm-hmm. You know, my own opinion is, and I have a bias, obviously, being in media, but there's no substitute for doing it. You're not going to learn it out of a book, really. You feel that's accurate?
Exactly. I feel the exact same way. I mean, we teach them the basic concepts. In the intro class that we have, we spend probably the first quarter of the year learning the theory as much as we can. And then for the rest of the time that they're in the class, all the way through the, their senior year, it's all hands-on, because there's nothing better than hands-on learning, getting your hands on the equipment, learning how that equipment actually works, and using that equipment as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Well, you know, across the board, this has been a very informative conversation today. Good luck with all of your productions and the Trojan Media Productions. And let's hope for a mild winter this year. I'd like to wish everyone a happy holiday season, regardless of the tradition you and your family celebrate. And I'd like to thank all of you for joining me today here on Super Chat.
Thank you, Gary.
So I have been your host, Gary Puckett, and we are happy that you have opted in to listen today and plan to join us here monthly, year-round. So until our next show, this has been Super Chat, the official school information podcast for Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools.